Welcome to Easy Does It, a podcast by Easy Equities, where we simplify money and investing. No jargon, no complications, your cool guide to investing. Easy.
Thank you for pressing play on the Easy Does It podcast, your cool guide to investing. My name is DJ At Large. So a couple of weeks ago, we did something different. We were out at the Money Summit, an event that is all about saving, investing, retirement, and encouraging South Africans to think differently about their money. This is what went down. Of course, I'm hanging out with a gentleman that's been walking around. Brother, what's happening, man?
All is well, man. God is good. And I'm happy to be here. And I trust that you are also good.
Yeah, so I heard that you came all the way from the Eastern Cape.
Yes.
Where exactly are you from? And what's your name, brother?
My name is Joshua Tlaekwa from the Eastern Cape. I came all the way from the Eastern Cape here to get more information about finances, yeah. Information about investment, because I'm a person who's also interested about money, how to make money. Mm. I come from the township, a big township called Motherwell Township,
yeah.
Where there is not a lot of opportunities for young people.
Yes.
And also there isn't a lot of information about finances.
Mm.
A lot of our young people, they would get jobs, maybe get hired by whichever company that they get hired by, but they tend to make a lot of mistakes when it comes to finances. But as a young person, you need to equip yourself with information, relevant information that can be assistance towards how to handle your finances. And for me, as a young person, I always think about the future. Where will I be in the next 5 to 10 years in terms of my finances? If today I'm able to make 20,000 a week, how am I spending that 20,000? In the next 5 to 10 years, how much money will I have?
I love that, because then you see money as a seed that you plant.
Yes.
And you're hoping that within the 10 years or the 5 years, it's actually bearing some sort of fruit.
Yes.
So now
yes.
Tell me something, right? We've got an interesting question here.
Mm.
If your money could speak, what do you think it would say about you?
It would say that I'm a person who is able to bring it more friends and more cousins and more brothers.
Mm.
That's what my money would say about me. But most importantly, when I think about money, I think about money as something that is like a seed.
Yes.
You plant it and it grows. And for me to come here, I'm looking for something that I can use to grow this seed that I have. The little money that I have, I want to grow it. So I've spoken to quite a number of people that have shared relevant information in what I want. So yeah, man, I'm still learning. And I also believe that all of us are students of life.
Yes.
And
yes.
We are always learning. We are always getting something. You can never say that you know everything in life. You'll learn everything every day.
Man, you're such an inspiration. Thank you so much for joining us, brother.
Thank you. Thank you for hosting me.
You know, we're bumping into people, meeting new people. People are interested in money. Hello there.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good. What's your name?
Sibongile.
All right, so Sibongile, you're here at the Money Summit. Are you here to learn about money? Are you here to encourage the people you're going with? What's your day looking like?
So I was here as a speaker, and I was talking about impact investing and how that impacts small businesses and how small businesses can get opportunities through impact investing.
Ooh, so this is like your ESG type of thing.
Yes, it is.
Ooh, I see, yeah. I see. I've got a question for you, right? I'm keen to know, if your money could speak, what do you think it would say about you?
My personal money?
Yes, your pocket, your wallet, what would it say about you?
Well, I'd like to split it into two.
Okay, split it up.
My everyday money is saying, what are you doing with your life? And it's asking me, you promised me a lot of things. You promised me a soft life. What is going on? But at the same time, my personal money understands that I'm building a business.
Mm.
And there's a lot of sacrifices that are happening.
Mm.
And things are taking longer. Mm. And it's part of business. And the journey is interesting. And it's all about the journey and not just the destination.
Yeah.
So I think my personal money overall will be proud of me for what we're actually doing together.
There's something really interesting that you spoke about that I want to touch on and hone into. It's around the sacrifice and the patience when it comes to money specifically.
Yeah.
Why is that so important? Because I sometimes feel like even with investing, people want to invest today and then tomorrow they want to be Petrus Motsepe. Or they want to start saving, but they're not actually making any sort of sacrifice. Why are these two components so important?
They're very important because we live in an era of instant gratification.
Mm.
And we are no longer aware of how long it takes to build. We assume that everything must happen instantly because of what we see, which is not necessarily true of what is actually real. So we get convinced or we believe things that are not necessarily realistic. And yet everything takes time.
Yes.
We all had to go to school, and it took 12 years just to get matric. And let alone once you go to varsity, then go to work, and you know, nothing happens overnight.
Yes,
and
yes.
Yet we have such an unrealistic expectation of our money and of our journeys and how things should pan out. So there is a lack of patience. There's unreasonable expectations. Although I understand there's pressures as well, there's economic pressures. And I mentioned sacrifice for a reason. Is that there's some levers that you can pull. You can't also only look at what comes in, and that must only grow. So what levers can you pull? What can you control? What can you manage?
Because you're spending. You know?
We're spending. That's under your control. You don't always have control over how much of an increase you're going to get or how much money you're going to make in the business, but you do have control over your spending.
Yeah. You know, what I've learned from you is that in your relationship with money, there must be a commitment, there must be compromise, there must be patience.
Yeah.
And I think that's such a beautiful lesson.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast.
Thank you. I had fun.
So we're out at the Money Summit, hanging out and bumping into people who want to learn more about their money. What's happening, brother?
I'm good in the South.
Lovely, man. What's your name?
Jean-Claude.
Ah, Jean-Claude, lovely name. Jean-Claude, you're here at the Money Summit. Are you exhibiting? Are you here to learn more about your money? What are you doing?
So we're actually exhibiting student accommodation from my student house. We're a student accommodation management company. We operate across the country. So we deal with a lot of youth. And your platform, like just a platform like this that can assist youth on how to handle their money is amazing.
Yeah, definitely. I've got a question for you. I want to know, if your money could speak, what do you think it would say about you?
They tell me I'm stingy.
So if you're stingy, what do you use your money on?
Well, depends. Sometimes it's books. Sometimes it's, I don't want to put this out in public because my boss might be watching, but sometimes it's dates.
So it's the balance between the two.
It's a balance between the two. Outside of like, the normal things, because I assist my family here and there where we can. But other than that, I'm very stingy. I think they'd say that.
Yeah, I think stingy is not too bad. I think a lot of people said their money would say, why are you broke? Why are you misusing me? So I think stingy is definitely not a bad thing. But in terms of the stinginess, let's put that aside. What's that one item or service that you would spend your last rand, your last cent on?
Soccer.
So you're a big soccer fan?
Yeah, going to a soccer stadium, going to play like fives football with friends. I'd spend my last cents on that.
Yeah. Quick one, what's your favorite team?
Barcelona.
Barcelona.
We're not doing so well now. Barcelona and Kaiser Chiefs.
Oh, no, you lost me, Kaiser Chiefs, man. And we're doing things a little bit differently today. We're out at the Money Summit, and I'm sitting there, and I bump into a beautiful, familiar face and voice. Now, on the Easy Does It podcast, we did an episode on Stockfellas with Palesa. Absolutely amazing. And it's her who we have on the podcast. Palesa, how are you doing?
I'm awesome. Great to see familiar faces here, and I'm glad that I'm here. So amazing the work that you guys are still doing. The nation is investing because of you guys.
And the investing is taking the Stockfellas to a new level because of you.
Definitely, and we need more young people collaborating and putting their money together in investing in platforms that are as friendly as Easy Equities, for example, using the Stockfellas model.
Can I tell you something really interesting? We have over 100 episodes on the Easy Does It podcast. Your episode is the second most downloaded on the podcast, with close to 15,000 downloads, which
Thank
is
you,
really the interesting.
Money cycle.
Yeah, which is really interesting. I think our third biggest listenership for that episode is actually in the US. I don't know if you know that.
No, I didn't know that.
There's something really special about the work that you're doing, but that episode specifically is beautiful because not only do you speak about what a Stockfell is, but you speak about examples where it's really changed an entire community.
Awesome.
So thank you so much for the great work that you do. I know you've launched a podcast, mm-hmm. you've got the fantastic book, you do quite a lot on social media. So I wanted to say thank you. We recognize all the great work that you're doing.
Thank you so much for the platform. Thank you for always being a friendly person and a very great collaborator when it comes to really financial education, especially investment, something that a lot of young people needs, but also the message of guys, we can do this together.
Yes. So before I let you go, I've got one question for you, right, Melissa? If your money could speak, what do you think it would say about you?
It would say, girl, you are revolutionary.
Kanye, how are you doing? How's the day going so far?
Quite enjoyable. You know, money actually makes me a little bit nervous. So when today's summit was about money, yeah. I do get a bit nervous, especially about talking to like people at different stalls, because like, what questions do you ask about money as a young person to make sure that you're, you know, good for your future and you are able to start building the money that you need to build all the right ways?
I think we sometimes forget that money is so emotional.
Mm-hmm.
There's fear, there's greed, there's happiness. It's got so many different things,
mm-hmm.
right? So one of the questions that we're asking everybody is, if your money could speak, what do you think it would say about you?
Yo, my money has a lot of things to say about
me. Tell us, we want to know everything. Tell us. What would it say about you?
My money would probably tell you how reckless I am. Or how reckless I can be.
Okay.
My money would tell you that I have all the best intentions for my money and my future, except the implication and like execution is not always the greatest.
Okay, so the intentions are good. It's the application that's the
there.
Problem.
Application is like, it goes left.
Okay, so I'm assuming you being here at the Money Summit is finding a way to improve that relationship.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
And trying to find better ways to either spend my, if it's spending my money, spend it right. And if it's saving, okay. save it so that you're not going to end up spending it, you know?
I see. Can you give me one money lesson that you've learned today? So in interacting with different people, different organizations, that one money thing that somebody said and you're like, oh, that's interesting.
You need to have someone around you who is not as emotional about your money as you are.
I like that.
That's my biggest takeaway from today so far.
We're out at the Money Summit meeting some interesting individuals, and this is one such brother. What's happening, man?
Good. All good. I'm really enjoying the event itself. There's a lot of insights that I've been getting in going to these different panels. It's been a great day, I have to say.
Yeah. So are you an exhibitor? Are you a visitor? Where are you from? What's your name?
Oh, sorry. Yes, my name is Otto Makwenchu. I am a visitor today.
Okay.
From Tribe Investments. I tend to speak on these products. I'm a sales trader myself.
Yes.
At Tribe Investments, yes.
Yeah. So in meeting people, what would you say is the one money lesson you got today? Because, you know, as you're having conversations with different people are saying different things. Mm. Is there anything that stood out for you today?
Today is the diversity in which you can invest in. Not only a lot of people focus on stocks and shares, but I mean, there's been a lot of eye-opening conversations around livestock, around commodities as well.
Alternative stuff.
Exactly. That I think that's been very interesting for me today to look at. Also, I have to say the eagerness for investing that has been very big. I mean, staying in the office, you think that no one's actually interested, but I think it's the access to the investment knowledge is what's been lacking. And I mean, if we had more of these types of events, I think we would have a better, you know, engagement with the greater society.
That makes
sense.
So, Odwa, we've been asking everybody this one question, right?
Okay.
It's actually on our banner wall.
Oh.
If your money could speak,
uh-huh.
what do you think it would say about you?
This guy never spends me.
So you're saving it up. You're making sure your money's looking good.
I really do. I play to the stereotype of Xhosa men being stingy. I try and focus on experiences. That's where usually my money goes to. But also, I've got a fear of being broke.
I feel you.
A lot of it also goes into investments. And that's why the alternative conversation today was very interesting for me. And that's why I try and focus mainly on that. But where to make your money work is what I spend most of my time thinking about.
Odwa, it was so fantastic meeting you. And thank you for joining us on the podcast, man.
Likewise, thank you for having me.
So once again, hanging out with some cool people at the Money Summit. Hello.
Hi.
What's your name?
I'm Kea. Kea Leboha, actually. But people can't say my name.
How? Why?
They can't say Kea Leboha.
No, they must learn today.
They should.
So, Kea Leboha, just tell me, are you an exhibitor? Are you a speaker? Are you a visitor? What are you doing at the Money Summit?
I'm a visitor, actually. But maybe just to give you some background, I'm a sales trader for Tribe Investments. So I thought I should just check out what's what, see if I can make a couple of networks, meet people. Yeah.
Yeah, so we've been asking people this interesting question, right? If your money could speak, what do you think it would say about you?
Oh my gosh, give me a break.
Are you using it that much?
Give me a break. I spend quite a bit, you know. But you know what? A lot of what I spend on as well is stocks, you know. I think it's important to, yes, we're buying things that don't matter, but it's also important to spend some of your money on things that do matter, you know. Yeah. So invest. Put some of it away. Buy stocks, do a bit of trading, yes, if that's your thing, and yeah.
I know you're in the trading space, right? What would you say is that one misconception around trading specifically?
I think the biggest is that you can become a millionaire overnight, which is simply not true, you know. It takes a lot of hard work, a lot of effort. Yeah. First of all, you're not going to turn 100 rand into a million, you know.
Yes.
It's the first thing to... So in order to make money, you've got to understand you've got to spend some of it. You know, that's what people don't understand. And so much people, I think people take advantage of that, you know, because people want to make money, and then you'll have some people who are saying, look, if you give me 100 rand, I can turn it into 1,000. It's simply not true. You know, there's so much that goes into it. And I have then set out as a trader to educate people, you know, that, look, perhaps we can't turn 100 rand into a million, but we can turn 100 into 1,000 after a couple of years, you know.
Oh, Kea, it's absolutely amazing meeting you. Thank you so much for coming through. We're back on the Easy Does It podcast, your cool guide to investing. And of course, meeting some cool people out at the Money Summit. What's happening, brother?
What's up, DJ Large? What's up, community? How are you all doing?
Lovely. What's your name, brother?
Mudise.
Yeah. So, Mudise, are you an exhibitor? Are you a visitor? Are you a speaker? What are you doing here at the Money Summit today?
Definitely a visitor. I was here Monday, checked out the scene with regards to entrepreneurship, learning and development. Skipped Tuesdays, which was more related to, you know, human resources, learning and development. Also, I got my own 9 to 5, so I had to attend to that. And then today, definitely here for the finance, investing, saving one, because my background is actually in finance. So yeah.
So in meeting different people, different organizations, different stands, different masterclasses, what's the one money lesson or money related thing that stood out for you today?
The fact that a lot of people, I think, overestimate their financial status. And I think it's because people are still thinking about money from a mental perspective, mentally, when money is physical.
Yes.
So the numbers don't lie. What you have is what you have, and any more that you can have or any less than you can have happens physically.
Yes.
It's not going to happen mentally. You don't spend your money mentally.
I'm with you. I'm with
you. Don't lose money mentally. You don't make money mentally. You make it physically. So I think a lot of people overestimate how much money they actually have to be able to deal with their respective responsibilities, whether it be expenses, liabilities. And as a result of not being able to come to terms with that physical reality, that's how they then fool themselves into making bad financial decisions.
I'm with you. So one of the questions we've been asking everybody is, you know, if your money could speak, what do you think it would say about you?
Oh, it's probably going to say we got to make more. Like.
So we're here in the bank account, but there's not enough of us. We need more.
Like Lil Wayne would say, one of my favorite lines from him, too much money ain't enough money. So we definitely have to make more. But the key question then becomes where, how?
Yes.
I'm not a fan of quick money. I think the quicker you make it, the quicker it leaves you.
Yes, I'm with you.
So we got to make more. That's probably what it would say. But are we comfortable? We are. But comfort kills, right?
Yeah.
Comfort kills growth. So
we
gotta make
more. And I guess also, for those who have a little bit, how do you keep it and how do you grow it?
Discipline. Once again, physical discipline starts with you taking pen, paper, taking whatever resource
committing,
you need to take.
Yeah, making
sitting down and making that commitment physically by noting down the things that are most important to you. There's a bunch of ways you could use that. There's a framework we use, but it's mostly used in product marketing, but you could use it in finance as well. It's called the MOSCO framework. So your must have, right? MOCOW.
Yeah.
Your must haves, which is your MO, your could haves, which is your CO, and then the W's, your would haves, right? So your must haves, you make sure you prioritize the things that you must do financially. Then your could haves are those on the sides, and then your would haves are the things that you would kind of like, but you need to make another way
in order
to work towards those ones,
another
stream of income to get those. But your must haves, you absolutely have to take care of. So the MOSCO can definitely work for you.
Modise, you've been amazing. So much knowledge, so much maturity. Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast, man.
It's a pleasure, DJ at large, and maybe perhaps in the future we could do this again.
We're hanging out with a whole lot of different people, but this time we've managed to get our hands on a speaker. Gareth, how you doing, man?
No, very well, and yourself, Tepo?
Lovely. How's the day been so far at the Money Summit?
No, really interesting. Eh? There's some great people here, sort of old contacts, nice to see some faces again. Yes. I think with the lockdown and that, haven't been able to travel, so it's lucky to be here in person for the first time in a couple of years.
It's lovely seeing people and feeling their energy. You were in one of the rooms and you were speaker. What were you talking about?
So we had a panel discussion around sort of retirement options.
Mm.
Yeah, but a sort of the technical things, what you can and can't do, the different type of products and annuities you should look at, and then some of the other general questions you should think about at that point.
Yeah. So, I mean, we speak a lot to young people. How do we get young people to start prioritizing and thinking about retirement? It's such a difficult one, and when you look at the studies and the numbers, young people are not prioritizing retirement. Yeah. So how do we connect with them so they can understand the value of the decisions they make when they're young, so that when they're older they benefit from it?
Yeah, no, I think it's exactly that. I think it's sometimes it's not a choice, you know. Yeah. It's forced upon. I think if we look at the lifestyles we live, the cost of living the last couple of years, it's been tough, you know. Cost of everything's shot up quite substantially, but yeah, I think we'll encourage people to save what they can, you know, and we know there's lots of material out there, sort of the value and the benefit of compounding. You know, you may not feel like you're saving a lot, you know, but if you compare, like, you've got your rich uncle who's in his 50s, who's maybe putting 10, 20 grand away a month, and it feels like, yes, it's a lot of cash. But what you've got is, if you're 25, you know, and you're putting your $500 away, you know, what you've got is you've got 30 years on him.
And for compound. That five,
exactly. Yeah. So I think the point is to get started.
Yeah.
And then also, you know, we talk about a concept called, like, I call it front loading. So it's kind of like if you're sort of young and you're starting out, maybe you haven't quite settled down, family, car payments or housing payments and that sort of thing yet. Save what you can, because there's going to be a time in your life where your money needs to go into those things.
Yes.
And I think psychologically what it does is it takes the pressure off. Because if you just don't do it up front, then that pressure is just going to build and build. Because the problem is, you're going to wake up when you're 45 and you're going to be deep in the hole of bond repayments and paying for cars and kids at school and stuff. And you're going to say, well, what extra cash do I have to save? And I'm way behind the mark. So you know what? Accumulate what you can. You know, we say the two keys to financial success are going to come around behavior. So just getting those habits in place, and then discipline as well. You know, making sure that when things get really tough, make sure they're really tough and you start, you know, hammering yourself on those things for the right reasons. You know, sometimes life is unavoidable. You know, we experienced that a couple of years ago with the lockdown and that. Nobody could have anticipated that. And people were thrown into desperate situations.
Yeah.
And as nice as it is to accumulate money for one day, we've still got to get there.
Yes.
You know, we've got to be able to live today.
Yes. I don't know if you mind me making things a little bit personal. There's a question we've been asking everybody on the podcast. Gareth, if your money could speak, what do you think it would say about you?
I belong to your wife.
Oh, that's been one of the most interesting answers today.
No. Seriously, we got a good balance, really. I tease her all the time. But no, I think, look, obviously my profession and that sort of thing, I'm very aware of kind of the implications of certain decisions around money. But yeah, I'm human too. You know, like it's lacquer to think, sure, we can do this one day and have this type of lifestyle. But, you know, you also want to, the bus could knock you over tomorrow. So, you know, money itself shouldn't be the pursuit.
Yeah.
You know, the money is the enabler. So you got to look at yourself and say, okay, what kind of life would I like to lead? Yes, I think when we're young, we think we want a Ferrari in the car park and a this and a that. And, you know, there's so many examples around the world of hyper wealthy people that are surrounded by stuff and yet are deeply unhappy, you know, divorced, like terrible. They don't have great relationships. So I think like, money should just be the enabler, you know, and really focus on the lifestyle you want to live.
Oh, man, you're absolutely amazing, Gareth. Thank you so much for coming to the podcast.
No, absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, brother.
All right.
Thank you for pressing play on the Easy Does It podcast, your cool guide to investing.
Thank you for pressing play on the Easy Does It podcast. A big shout out to you for hanging out with us. Don't forget to subscribe. We are on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Let us know what you think of this episode on Twitter and Insta. Our handle is @EasyEquities.